I just have the privilege of sharing God's word with you this morning. And I don't do this very often, but every time I come here, you know, it's just dawned on me that, you know, it's just a huge privilege just opening the Bible and sharing it with this beautiful people here. Hallelujah. And the last time I sat there, I like being at the background. I like, you know, doing things, you know, that nobody knows about. You know, the last time I sat here was in May on our Mother's Day, and I stood here to share with you a message called The Blessed Mother. If you were not here, I encourage you to listen to that message online. It was in May for Mother's Day. And my husband just asked me to share again. I'm like, what? Again? But like I said, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. And I just want to say something briefly about this handsome man of God. Yeah, I've been in a relationship with him for 18 years. We've been married for 13. So I can say I know him. I know him. So we have a very good leader in this house. You know, in the books of Acts, it says they were writing, and they said, "I'm writing what Jesus began to do and to teach." So we do first before we teach. And this man here is a doer of God's word. Everything he's standing here to talk to you about, he first does it. So I just appreciate God's grace upon your life, and I pray that God will continue to give you more strength to do His word and to teach His word. In Jesus' name. Let's just open our Bibles this morning. Before we have a word of prayer, I just want to follow his style this morning. We read a Bible verse and we pray. Okay, in fact, I have two portions of the Bible, actually. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll just read verses 25 to 27. It says, are we there? It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Don't worry, we're not talking about marriage this morning, okay? We just had that a couple of weeks ago. And let's open to the second portion of the scriptures in Matthew. I'm actually going to be giving you a lot of scriptures this morning, so which we won't have time to read. That's why I want to read these two crucial ones. And if you've got your pen and a jotting pad or your phone, just take down those scriptures and let's be like the Berean Christians this morning. Let's go back and check those things, and be a doer of it. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 19 says, 13 to 19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let us pray. Father, we just worship you this morning. We thank you for the privilege of sitting down at your feet to learn your word again. Father, we give you praise. We exalt you. We pray, oh God, for the ministry of your word this morning. We pray, oh God, that your word will come forth to transform from the inside out this morning. We pray that your word will minister life to your people. The Bible says Jesus was preaching in that place, and the power of God was available. Let your power be available to meet every need this morning. And let our eyes be opened to see the truth of your word. And I receive for everyone under the sound of my voice the grace to go back and be a doer of this word in the mighty name of Jesus. To you be all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. Amen. You know, I just want us to look at something very important this morning as we end this year, 2015. You know, I know we've done a lot of things this year. You know, we've been involved in so many things, you know. Some of us have, you know, volunteered in school. Some of us have, you know, really been committed to our work. You know, some of us have, you know, gone beyond what we normally do. Some of us have, you know, done so many things. But I just want us to think about everything we've done this year, okay? We need to do this at the end of the year. Remember, Pastor Joe was talking about 10 months make a year, that we need to, the last few months of the year, we need to actually think about what we've done and see whether we need to keep doing some things as we step into the new year. We need to look at the purpose. Look at what is added to our lives. You know, maybe there's some relationships we need to reconsider. Maybe there's some things we need to do. And I just want us to look at church this morning. I want to look at the reason why we do church. I want us to look at it and see whether we need to keep going to church or whether we need to still keep being part of a church. Hallelujah. You know, in our life group, in the last quarter of this year, we did a group study together called We Are the Church by Pastor Francis Chan. And, you know, we were so blessed for those of us who are part of it. You know, how many were part of that house group? Yeah, they can tell you that we were all blessed. You know, our eyes were open to, you know, how the early church did church. Hallelujah. And how we can incorporate that into our lives right now. So I want us to, together as a church, just look at that briefly this morning. We don't have much time. That's why I'll be giving you some scriptures, you know, that we can check later. But, like I said, we are looking at church this morning. So I'm just going to start, you know, by looking at, you know, the assembly of God. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of one another. You know, but you know, the opposite is happening in our churches these days. You know, 20 years ago, I saw in a research, 20 years ago, an average Christian go to church at least twice a week, at least. But now, we'll be lucky if, you know, an average Christian goes to church once a week. In fact, sorry, it says once a month. Once a month. An average Christian right now goes to church once a month. And, you know, in the early church, you know, in our study, we learned that, you know, the early Christians, they met every day. They had church every single day. You know, you can imagine. So what could have gone wrong? What could have gone wrong? I just want us to look at that this morning. You know, I read in a place, jokingly, it says, when you were born, your mother brings you to church. When you get married, your wife brings you to church. When you die, your friends and family brings you to church. Why not try coming to church by yourself sometime? You know? So that is why I think we need to look at church this morning. Do we need to come sometime? Or do we need to come all the time? Hallelujah. You know, just the other day, my daughter, the older one, you know, we're having dinner at the table, and she said, after Sunday, she said, we have to pack up in church. We have to do this. Why do we even have to go to church? We can just have church in our house. Daddy teaches us the Bible all the time. Why can't we just have church, you know, and we just use the opportunity? You know, we need to make use of those opportunities to teach our children. You know, that's one of the things I was sharing in May, that, you know, it says when we lie down, when we sit down, you know, we need to teach our children these things. And we just, you know, talked about it and told them why we need to go to church. And we're going to do the same this morning. So, you know, and we need to see whether we need to make it a priority. Hallelujah. You know, I saw a post on Facebook page the other day. It says some people are more interested in their children making a football team, you know, than making the kingdom. Because here in Australia, if you want to be part of a team, it's Sunday morning, you know, and you are left with the conflict of, what do I do? I want my child to be part of that team, and I want them to be part of the football team, you know. But let's just look at the priorities this morning. Hallelujah. Let's look at it. So I was saying that, why do people drop out of church? We need to understand what church is. We need to understand its purpose. We need to understand why God established the church. Hallelujah. You know, I've attended church practically all my life. Since I was born, I was privileged to be born into a Christian home. And my parents were Anglican. So they took me to the Anglican church. I was baptized there. I was confirmed there. You know, I did everything there until I got to university. And I got exposed to the Pentecostal, you know, kind of church style. And I was hooked. And I gave my heart to the Lord. 1993, I was in the university, 17 years of age. And I walked up that aisle and I gave my life to Christ. And I've not looked back since then. So, but what I'm trying to say this morning is, I went to church all that time. Nobody actually stood behind the pulpit to tell me what church is. There was no message that I heard that actually dealt with church. We just kind of get to church and flow with it. We just worship, we just give, we just, you know, of course we know we have to give. There are verses in the scripture, but we can actually give on the internet. We can actually watch the best message. This morning, if you're at home, you will log into, you know, I don't want to start mentioning churches named because there's a lot of beautiful ones. You can actually listen to the best pastor just sitting in your bedroom, not even taking a bath in your robe. You know, you can actually do all these things on yourself. So, but like I said, I went through it, you know, even in the Pentecostal setting, we don't really talk about why we do what we do so much. We just do it. Okay. So I just want us to look at that this morning. So what exactly is church? There are three institutions ordained by God in the Bible. Number one is the institution of marriage. In Genesis 2, chapter 24, it says a man will leave his father and mother and be together with his wife, you know. And the second one is civil governance. It talks about Romans 13, chapter 1 to 7. It says let everyone, you know, be subject to governing authority. You know, that's an institution. And the third institution is the church. And if we look back at Matthew that we read this morning in chapter 18, it says in verse 18, chapter 16, verse 18, it says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, there's something in the principle of interpretation of the Bible called the law of first mention. When you look at the place where something is first mentioned in the Bible, it gives you like a background, you know, the background foundation of what the meaning of that word is. And church, the word church is first mentioned in the Bible in this passage of the scripture. And it gives us the understanding of what church is and who instituted church. Hallelujah. So it says, I also say to you that you are Peter. You know, Peter in the Greek is translated Peter, but it's actually Petros, which means a stone. Okay? And it says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. That Peter that I was talking about means stone, but it says on this rock, that rock is talking about there, the Greek word for it is Petra. Okay? So it's Petra, which means like a collection of stones to make a huge, immovable mass. So Peter is a rock, a piece of rock, which is movable, right? You can toss it anywhere you like. But Petra, that Jesus is saying, I'll build my church on, is a collection of stones, okay, that makes a huge, immovable rock. So in essence, Jesus is saying that I'm building my church on a collection of stones. I think we should look at 1 Peter. Hallelujah. I was saying that it's a collection of stone. We'll go back to the first Peter. It's a collection of stones. So that place in Peter was talking about we as Christians, we as the people of God, as lively stones. Okay? So we, a gathering of us, we are the stones on which the church is built. Hallelujah. I'm still going to go back to Peter later, but I want us to move on because of our time. We're not going to be able to open a lot of scriptures. So, and the word church, the Greek word for church is called ecclesia. And ecclesia means an assembly or called out ones. So we're talking about a collection of stones, which Jesus says, I will build my church on. It's not saying I'm going to build. Some people erroneously believe that it's saying I'm going to build my church on Peter, the rock. And they say Peter is the head of the church. Yes, in present day, in those days, Peter was the head of that group called church. In today's term, you know, we are talking about maybe the senior pastor or, you know, the leader of a church. That's just what Peter was, okay? But Christ is saying that I'll build my church upon that collective, you know, stones that make a huge mass. We all know that Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is the head of the church, right? So he is the head of the church. He is the chief cornerstone of that rock, okay? So the church is built on Jesus. It's also built on that collection of us, the lively stones. Hallelujah. And some people believe that church is a building, okay? Church is not a building. Some people say church is the people. Yes, church is the people. But I've just put a definition together of church. Church is a gathering, okay, of a people that have been called out, okay? We have been called out to act and to promote and proclaim God's kingdom. Because I see in that Matthew chapter 16 that we read, it says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So it's establishing church and it's saying, you know, you are here to proclaim my kingdom. Hallelujah. Ecclesia, you know, I read in a place, it says ecclesia was first used in the Greek as a legislative gathering of a body, you know, where they can make a decision. Where they can, you can make laws, okay? That's when they use ecclesia, and that's the same word that was used for church. So we are a gathering of people, you know, enforcing and declaring the rulership of God. Hallelujah. So that's why the gathering of church is different from any other gathering, okay? God, we have God's word, right, to guide us as Christians. But we are actually declaring his kingdom. You know, in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, it was saying, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth. Okay? So we are declaring that kingdom when we come together. We are saying, yes, we're a group of people who have been called out. Okay? And we serve one God. We are a church. We are a people, a gathering of people under one God. And we are proclaiming that kingdom. So I'm telling you this morning, the church is the only superpower that will last forever. The church has been for so long. There's been so many persecutions, you know. I took the kids to my daughter's birthday party yesterday, and I took, you know, some friends' kids with me, and we were talking in the car. And they were saying, they started talking about how church was, and I was surprised, you know, the level of their knowledge. And they were saying, you know, they taught us in school that Christians were really persecuted in the olden days, that they torture them to death, they do all that. Yes, I told them it's true, you know. But we are privileged to be here, free, freely serving God this morning. But through that very rough period that the church has been, the church went through it, you know, and the church is still here. And I'm telling you, the church will still continue to be forever because of you and I. Hallelujah. So let's move on this morning briefly. So we are a collection of stones with Christ as the chief cornerstone. So we look at that First Peter chapter 2, just briefly. Like I said, I don't want to open a lot of scriptures, but there are some that are really important that I want us to see together, you know. So 1 Peter chapter 2 says, verse 5, he says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. That is talking about you and I this morning. We are lively stones, and we assemble. So church is the people assembling to promote his kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, in different places in the scriptures, when you look at Philemon chapter 1, verse 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 46, Colossians 4, 15, Romans 16, 15, 1 Corinthians 16, 19, Acts chapter 2, verse 2, they kept referring to the church at your house. Paul was writing, he would end his letter and say, greet the church at your house. Greet the church at your house. Hallelujah. And Acts chapter 4, verse 42 says, they met in the temple and from house to house. Okay? So church can be anywhere. Church can be in your house. In fact, a lot of the big churches we have now started in somebody's living room. Hallelujah. It's because they keep expanding. That's why they can't meet there anymore. That's why they have these huge halls to use. Hallelujah. So church can be anywhere where a gathering of people who profess the same God gather. Hallelujah. So, and there are so many analogies in the Bible. We have different names of the church now. We have Hill City. We have so many churches, you know. But there are so different analogies used for the church in the Bible. Number one is the body of Christ. Let's just, you know, picture, you know, a body, you know. Let's picture somebody standing here. We've got hands, legs. We are that part of that body, and Christ is the head. And as the assembly of God, we take our instruction from the head. That is the center of power, okay? And that's where Christ sits. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. It says, you are Christ's body, each one of you a part. Hallelujah. Number two, analogy is a bride. A bride. In that Ephesians that we read, remember it says that Jesus is going to present the church to himself as a glorious bride. Another one is a family. Ephesians 2:19 says we are members of the household of God. When we talk about household, what comes to our mind? Family. We are family. Okay? That's another message for another day. It also uses a flock. You know, it was admonishing, you know, the first apostles, and it says feed and shepherd God's house, the church. Okay? So we are a flock in Acts 20:28. It also refers to the church as an army. As an army. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, it says, endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. So we're a collection of soldiers. Okay? And it says we should not be entangled again with the affairs of this world. Hallelujah. Because we are above it. Because we live higher. Hallelujah. So, all have a basis. We all have a basis, okay? We're a collection of people. We are dependent on each other. And the assembling, which is church, provides a platform for all of us. It provides a platform for us to get together. It provides a platform. You know, when you know you are not the only one doing something, you are not the only one going through something, you know, you go through it better, you know? You feel more loved. You feel more secured. You know, nothing is new to you anymore. You know, no matter how good or how bad it is, you know you are not alone. Hallelujah. That is what church is. So we are his body. We have the same Father. The Bible says God the Father, God the Son, the three, and the Holy Spirit, the three are one. That is our Father. In Matthew, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, our Father who is in heaven. So we have a common Father this morning. We have believed and professed Christ's death and resurrection. As many that are here that are born again, you know, we have heaven as our home. So this church and all the other churches, we are like the embassy. Okay? It says we are ambassadors for Christ. So this is like the embassy of the real thing. So this is like a mini heaven. But we all look together towards heaven. Okay, if Jesus tarries, every one of us are gonna leave this world one day. If Jesus comes, he's gonna take us with him. You know, so we are just passing through here. We have a common home. Hallelujah.
we will continue to have church together even when the world is no more. The Bible talks about cars of witnesses in heaven. It talks about people and angels singing to God in heaven. So we'll continue to have church even when this world is no more. I just want you to think about it, you know. And I just want you to look at the person next to you, okay? Look at them very well. These are the same people you are going to spend eternity with. Hallelujah. So if you don't like anything in them, you better start praying for them. Okay? Church is not to judge people. It's not to look down on people. Okay? We all develop, we all grow at different places, right? One of my daughters was telling me that, Mom, I'm like very short in my class. The other one is saying I'm too tall. I'm like, okay, guys, what do you want? But the truth is we all grow at this different, we grow in different, spaces, you know, paces, okay? So that is what church is all about, you know? We are going to see each other again. We are going to live together and worship God together, you know, till eternity. And it's forever. Okay? So you better start getting used to me. You know, I better start getting used to you. Hallelujah. That is church. Hallelujah. But, you know, the title of my message this morning, I'm just introducing this morning. The title of my message is actually The Purpose of Church. The purpose of church. I want us to look at the purpose of church this morning. You know, Dr. Miles Monroe. How many people know Dr. Miles Monroe? Is it Monroe or Monroe? Yeah, he is of blessed memory. You know, he says something. He says, when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. Okay? So there's no way we won't abuse church if we don't know what the owner of the church, the person who established this institution, you know, had in mind when he established it. And I just want us to look at three main areas this morning of why God instituted the church. Hallelujah. And I believe that in that verse, in our text this morning, in Matthew chapter 16 of verse 18, when Jesus said, I will build my church, he's got something in mind, right? I think he's got something in mind for him to say, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Okay? So I just want us to look at, you know, he has a specific purpose in mind. And it's not our job to create that purpose this morning. It's our job to discover them. It's our job to understand them. It's our job to play our part in that building process. Hallelujah. And that's what I want us to do this morning. Number one area that I want us to look at is worship. Worship. Hallelujah. The Bible says, come into his presence with thanksgiving. Enter into his court with praise. When we come together, the first thing we need to do is to praise God. Worship God. I'm talking about the different aspects to worship, right? But my focus this morning is declaring God's praises. Okay? So when we come to church, you notice that the first thing we do, we open in prayer, committing everything to God. But the first thing we do is to sing and to talk to God and to declare how great he is, how wonderful he is. That's what the Bible says we should do. It says we should enter his gates with thanksgiving, come into his courts with praise. It says where two or three people are gathered together in my name, there I am. So we are kind of welcoming him. We are kind of, you know, acknowledging his presence. We are kind of refocusing. We are coming, when we walk out, you know, when we're still outside that doors, right? We have a lot of things in our mind going on, right? We don't know what happened to you this morning. We don't know what happened during the week, right? But when you step into this place, you know, our focus must change. You know, our focus must change to God. And that is one of the reasons why we sing. That is the reason why we dance. Actually, it's not just singing. You know, I just see people stand and sing, and you know, the Bible says it's seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? If our worship must come from the heart. That's why we sometimes close our eyes. That's why we say things to him. We sing things to him. Hallelujah. We are kind of refocusing. We are kind of taking all our cares and placing it in God's hand. Hallelujah. That's why in church, worship is very important. We thank him because he's the one keeping us alive. He's the one that is looking, is giving his angels charge over us. We don't have any power over ourselves. You know, when my husband is away, the kids, you know, they want to sleep in my room. They want to, you know, because they know when he's there, they feel safer, right? You know, some people, when the mom is home, they feel safer. But I told my girls, it's not your daddy that keeps us. Hey, hello. It's not. It's God. It's set him there as an authority. It's set him there as a spiritual covering. Yes. Okay? Nobody can just come in anyhow. But above that, in the realm of the spirit, you know, it's God. It's God. The Bible says, if the Lord does not keep a city, those that wake up, the watchmen, they watch in vain. Hallelujah. They watch in vain. So our main thing of coming together is to worship our common Father, the King of Kings. And what better way to worship God than to worship God together in a congregation? I know we worship God when we have our own quiet time with God, but there's a difference when we come together. God is more glorified. You know, I'm sure God is like looking down at us and like smiling. Those are my people. Those are my children. Hallelujah. He says he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. You know, I heard a story. Somebody said he had a little glimpse, you know, of heaven. And people were coming and dancing and praising God. And they're coming. And, you know, God was sitting on the throne, you know. And they just say, oh, thank you. Thank you, God. They're coming to thank God, right? And, you know, every time they come and say thank you, you know, you just say, okay, what do you want? And he will give them something that they want. And it's okay, I want a child. And then the person will get a child. And the other person, but one of the people came from the door, you know, as she entered the door, she came dancing, rolling on the floor, you know, thanking God, blessing God, although I don't have everything. But I've come just to worship you. So what do you exactly want? He said, no, I don't want anything. I just want to praise you for all you have done for me. And you know what happened? God himself stood up and said, no, I will go with you. I will go with you because this is the kind of person I want. Hallelujah. So Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. We love him by worshiping him. We express our love to God through worship. You know, Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus said to Satan after he's fasted 40 days and the devil came to tempt him. He said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Look at that order. Worship him and serve him. Hallelujah. So everything we do as we assemble in church should be an act of worship. Okay, our giving, our singing, our dancing is an act of worship to God. Hallelujah. It's an act of worship to God. We praise, we give, we dance. You know, in my country, you know, when we go to church, we actually dance. You know, people come out in the highlands, start dancing. You know why? We are just praising the King of Kings. Hallelujah. But we are just too conscious of the next person. You know, we don't do that anymore. But it's actually what the Bible says we should do. Hallelujah. David, that very popular king in the Bible says he danced. They just won a war, and he danced. You know, imagine the Queen of England dancing and taking off her jacket, and you know she's very posh, and so you can imagine her in the, you know, with everybody come out to see her, and she's dancing and removing her crown and like, you know, dancing. And actually digging it. I'm like, you know, everyone would be like, oh, that's exactly what happened. David's wife despised him and said, oh, look at the king. How can a king be dancing like this? But he was just dancing and worshiping God. And that woman was the only barren woman in the Bible. She never had a child because of what she did, because she despised God's anointed, dancing before the Lord. Anyone worshiping or dancing God, you know, you don't want to mess with them. Hallelujah. Just flow along and join in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's move on this morning. Let's move on. Psalm 34 verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name together. Worship shifts our attention to God and set our heart to receive from him. Hallelujah. So, we just move on quickly because of our time this morning. The second purpose of church is wholeness. WHOLENESS. God is interested in our total well-being. He is interested in our total well-being. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. You know, I'll just paraphrase a little bit. We don't have much time. It says, until we all come to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In fact, I think I should read that. I'm reading from the NIV this morning. It says, so Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Church exists to bring us to that wholeness of the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Hallelujah. That's what church is for. That is what church is for. So, when I'm talking of wholeness this morning, I'm talking of giving priority to the Word of God. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts chapter 2, in fact, you know, I teach in the kids' church, and I'm giving you a homework this morning, like I do in the kids' church. I want you to go back and read the whole of Acts chapter 2 and just look at how church was done in the early, in the early days, the early church. What they did, the whole of chapter 2 of the book of Acts is a very beautiful one. It says, you know, they shared the word of God together. You know, they gave attention to God's word. That is why when we come together, you know, we take the word of God serious, you know, and then we go back and check if those things are the same. It set the pace for our own personal Bible study, you know. I'm not saying anything can take the place of you sitting down to know God's word for yourself. But the church actually put you through. Remember that Philip in the Bible? There was an Enoch, a very wealthy, you know, man of authority, sitting down and reading the Bible, reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I understand? I have no man to explain it to me. God has equipped saints in the church. He has given pastors, he's given teachers, he's given ministry gifts just to equip the church, you know, just to equip the church, just to make us more mature. Our goal as Christians is to be like Christ. We want to enjoy the life he died to give us. He says, I've come to give you life and to give you in abundance, you know. We need to get to that, we need to move towards it. You know, and church provides that platform. Hallelujah. I'm moving on this morning. So it says, you know, they ask Jesus, what is the best commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Okay? So that is our priority. And one of the ways of showing we love God is sitting down to know what's in his heart in the Bible. Hallelujah. I'm talking number two of prayer. You know, well, you should commit to committing our whole life and walk and ways to God in prayer collectively as a congregation. That's why prayer meeting is important. Don't miss prayer meeting. It's part of church. It's part of church. That is where we intercede. That is where we pray. We pray individually, right? But God's also desire that we come together to pray. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1 verse 14 says they all joined together constantly in prayer. Okay? That is what church is for. This person needs to have a need. We pray collectively together with it. And then we go back. We pray, okay, on our own. Hallelujah. It sets the church gathering. It sets that pace. Hallelujah. Church, you know, when we pray together in church, is the appointed place to receive prayer. Remember in Acts chapter 1, it says that you should stay in one place. And I will send you the Holy Spirit, right? They were together in prayer when the Holy Spirit came, okay? They were having church. Hallelujah. You know, there's a quote by Charles Spurgeon. It says, to have the fullness of Christ, we must meet in greater numbers, pray with greater fervency, watch with greater earnestness, and believe with firmer determination. But my focus is we pray in greater number. We pray in greater fervency. Hallelujah. There's a fervency when we all come together to pray, which is nothing like you praying on your own. Hallelujah. This morning I'm talking about service as part of that wholeness. As part of that wholeness. Okay? I'm talking of service. The same Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 talks about for the equipping of the saint for the work of the ministry. Okay? Jesus said the first commandment is to love God. The second one is love your neighbor. That's service. Okay? That's what we come to church to do. We don't just come and sit there. We want to contribute. Remember I said we are members of the same body. Okay? Everybody contributes their part. Hallelujah. So church is a body. Everyone contributes their part. Stop complaining and look for ways to make things better. Hallelujah. I'm talking of service, talking of spiritual. Okay? Let's use our spiritual gift in church. When you don't use these things, you are cheating yourself. The more you serve, the more you know how to serve. The more you use the gift God has deposited in you, the more it grows. When you don't give your all to church, you cheat the next person, okay? Because you are not giving of what God has deposited into you. If you are not committed to it, you are cheating the world, because we're supposed to take it outside of these walls, okay? And if we don't do it right in here, we are cheating the world. Hallelujah. Let's move on this morning. The Bible says in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all men will know you are my disciples, when you love one another. Our hallmark in church is love. We show love to one another. I'm talking of physical help this morning. See anyone in need. Do whatever you can. I'm not saying you can help everybody, okay? Start with one. Hallelujah. That is what church is all about. Hallelujah. Someone is not in church and you know that it's not their usual habit, check on them. Hallelujah. A new person walks up to church, make them feel welcome. Make them feel welcome. Make them part of the family. This family should be growing. Hallelujah. It should be growing. We should be excited when it's growing. The Bible says heavens rejoice when one sinner gives their heart to the Lord. And we should be too. Hallelujah. That is service. That is service. You know, and that's what the people did in the early church in the book of Acts chapter 2. He says they sold everything they had and they shared it. I'm not saying you should go sell what you have this morning. Okay? The culture have changed. Okay? Things have changed from then. There's more civilization, you know? But the principle is still the same. The principle of God's word never changes. It's the same. We share what we have. Whatever we can, we do. Hallelujah. And then we have that peace in our hearts when we know we are doing the right thing. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says, do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. It's talking about that person sitting next to you. Hallelujah. I'm overshooting my time this morning. Can I have 5 more minutes? Hallelujah. Yeah, service must be done with no string attached. Let's serve as unto God and not unto man. God is the rewarder. He said he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. So as we serve, I said we know how to serve. Our gift is not dormant but growing. And we move towards that wholeness and maturity. Hallelujah. I don't know of a more significant cause to give one's life to. Hallelujah. But church. Hallelujah. And I'm talking of wholeness this morning. I'm talking of fellowship. Church exists for fellowship. And that's what makes us whole, you know. You don't feel alone, like I said. You don't feel alone. You feel you are part of a very big thing. Hallelujah. This is more than us. It's more than us. Hallelujah. And, you know, no matter what is happening around the world, the church is still going to be here. You know, briefly, you know, I saw there was a billboard that I heard in the news this week, you know, of the American, you know, atheist. How many people saw the news? Ah, okay. They put some outrageous billboard all over America, you know, very, you know, conspicuous places in America. They say, this Christmas, they put Santa Claus there, and Santa Claus did this. You know, and says, you know, you don't need God this Christmas, you know. Skip church. You know, all you need to do is to be good. Is to be good, you know. And they put those billboards all over America, you know. But they are just saying because they don't know. The Bible says the gods of this world have blinded their eyes. Okay? We know the truth, okay? We know what is the standard for being good? What it is? How can you be good? You can't be good. The Bible says our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. There's nothing you can really do on your own. Hallelujah. So that is totally wrong. We are dependent on God. Hallelujah. And we are dependent on one another. Acts 2 chapter 42 says they continued in fellowship. Verse 46 said they continued daily in one accord. Hallelujah. We are better together. God put us lonely in families for a reason. Don't forsake the assembly of others. You know the tea and coffee that we serve after church is just a start. It's to get you started in that connection process. Hallelujah. It should be throughout the week. It should be throughout the week. I know we all have our different groups, our different clubs, our different places we belong to. But let's make our group church a priority. Hallelujah. Because God makes it a priority. He says Christ died for the church. He gave himself for it. He loves the church. And we should too. Hallelujah. So fellowship means more than talking sports. It's not gossip. It's not news. It's sharing lives, emotions, bearing one another's burden, encouraging one another, helping each other. You know, we have a WhatsApp group for the women that one of our beautiful ladies set up. It's beautiful because we just connect during the week. Somebody put a prayer point. Somebody put an encouragement, you know. You know, I'm not saying everyone should respond to whatever everybody put there all the time. But just read it, you know, and just be encouraged. Hallelujah. I know we can't all sit down with this social media 24/7. Hallelujah. But it's a good way. It's just a start. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So life groups as well is a way of fellowshipping together that we need to think about taking serious next year. We get to know people more. People share their life experiences. They share their work with God, which you can't do here behind the pulpit. Hallelujah. And you get to know more of them. You go to people's houses. You see their house. You have a feeling that you know them better. That is what church is all about. And I'm just going to skip everything now, but just know this, that we are better together. God did not call you alone. Okay, we are lively stones. We are all called together into this great work. And I said, number one, the purpose of church is worship. Number two is wholeness, our total being. And finally, number three is witness. Is witness. Okay, is witness. I'm talking of evangelism. I'm talking of our lifestyle. Our lifestyle should reflect Christ. Okay? Number one, you know, the Bible says we should go into all the world and preach the good news. We need to keep talking to people about the good news, about Jesus' death and resurrection, and for the fact that Jesus is coming back again. Hallelujah. We need to share our faith. We need to share our testimonies whenever we have opportunity to. And when we come to church, we are kind of evangelizing as well. Hallelujah. Because new people come into our midst, we welcome them into the family of God. We help them in the steps of being matured in Christ. Hallelujah. So our last step, we must take church outside church, if you know what I mean. We should continue. We should continue, you know, even when we leave this assembly. Because even when we go out, we are still the church. Hallelujah. At our workplaces, we don't need bumper stickers to say I'm a Christian. People should know. People should know by our lifestyle. We should reflect Christ, okay? And that's why church is established, to build us up, to make us ready for that walk, hallelujah, as we take it out, okay? Hallelujah. So, I'm just going to skip a lot of things, hallelujah, because of our time, okay? But remember this, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Matthew 5, 14 to 16 says, we are the light and we are the salt of the world. The salt preserves things, right? We are the one preserving. We are the one preserving the world. Hallelujah. We are preserving the world. Things are happening around us, but we are preserving. Hallelujah. So, in closing this morning, I just want to say these few things. Jesus founded a church. Jesus died for the church. Jesus sent the spirits to the church. And Jesus will one day come for the church. I want us to think about this. Hallelujah. I want us to think about it. But most importantly, heaven is our home. Let's keep it in sight. Let's keep it in sight. Let it be the basis of everything we do as church. Hallelujah. Let us bow our head to pray this morning.